Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightline with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Good evening. Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. I am Pete Schwabba, as you might have guessed. Great to have you with me tonight. Just a great day. There's a lot going on. We have a lot to cover tonight. It's a beautiful Thursday in Wisconsin. Very unseasonable-like temperatures. Not too crazy, but nice and warm. I don't mind an El Nino year every once in a while. It's a nice alternative. I'll take it. I have a great show for you guys tonight. We are going to talk about bad Christmas presents. This is the season. This is the season to mail in your Christmas shopping ideas and do last minute stuff or not put much thought into gifts. I will admit I am not a good gift getter. Sometimes I sit around and it'll be like a family gift exchange and I'll be like, oh man, that's great. Oh wow, what a great gift. And I've never been a good gift getter. So I don't know if you guys are like me or if you really put a lot of thought into it and you are good gift getters, but I know we've all gotten bad Christmas gifts. So tonight's question is, what is the worst Christmas present you've ever received? That's the question. And all through the show, you can text or you can call. I want to know what the worst Christmas present you've ever received was. I'll share mine. I'll share some other ones that I found out. But I want to know yours, and you can let us know. It's 920-264-0606 is the number to text or call, 920-264-0606. That's the question tonight. What is the worst Christmas present you've ever received? So we'll talk about that in a couple minutes. I've got great guests coming up. We've got Matt Miller just after 8:30. He is the great film critic and entertainment reporter for onmilwaukee.com. Matt, I love Matt's insights on movies and TV and all things really kind of industry in Hollywood. He does it all from Milwaukee and does a great job. He'll be joining me in just a little while. We'll find out what he's watching, what he's recommending, and he might even give us a little bit of a sneak award season preview, which will be great. So I know I'm curious myself. And then at 9:30 or just after 9:30, Green Bay broadcasting legend and co-host of Mino in the Mayor here on WGBW and WISS, the morning show, it's John Mino. He's going to join me in the studio, and we're going to talk to John about a lot of things. John can talk about a lot of things. Really, I could just introduce John and walk out the door, go get some peanuts, read the paper. John will just go. He's a really interesting guy. He's had a phenomenal career here in Green Bay in broadcasting, and we'll find out what John is up to, how the morning show is going. I always like to ask people what they're watching when it comes to movies or TV. John will share those tidbits of information with us, and it is Pearl Harbor Day, so we'll talk to John about that because John does a lot of work with veterans. So he'll be along around 9:30. And then a couple special guests coming up from the Civic Media family. You just heard one of them, Kristen Elfheim. She's going to be mad at me. Kristen Elfheim. And this is coming from a guy named Schwabba. I have to say my name for everybody, so no offense there. But she's going to pop in the studio in a few minutes to talk about her show. And then Don Brown has a great show here on Civic Media. He's going to join me a little after the 9 o'clock hour to discuss his show this week in Waukesha, which is also here on the Civic Media Network. So I've got a lot of show. And, you know, I have to drive here. I don't live that close to the station where we record here or where we broadcast from. I stopped to get gas, and when I went inside, I bought like a candy bar. They charged me. I put my debit card in, and I left. I do this all the time. I don't even look at what I'm being charged. They could have charged me $1,000 for a pack of almonds and a payday. I like nuts. What can I say? But do you do that? Honest to God, most of the time I leave, I don't look at the receipt. I don't look at that. Sometimes I do, but most of the time I'm preoccupied or I'm looking at my phone or I'm talking to the cashier. Cashiers, by the way, too, are like the new bartenders. At least where I live near Marinette, it's You can get stuck in line behind someone who will go on and on and on. And it's like, you know, some of us have places to be. Please, let's move this along. Set up a coffee or a tea later. This is not the place to talk about your grandkids for 45 minutes with a grocery store clerk. But I digress. I take it that's happened to Conrad from time to time. Conrad is the show's producer, Conrad Krieger. Conrad,
how's it going?
How are you doing tonight?
Doing great.
Good. It was nice to hear your laugh on the other side of the... I didn't think you thought I was funny anymore, so it was nice to hear some laughter.
I mean, I'm just kind of giving you pity laughs, you know?
Yes, I understand. But I do that. I leave, and I'm like, wow, I might have just paid, you know, $830 for a pack of bologna. The deli kind. I don't buy the processed bologna. I don't buy bologna. Who eats bologna? I don't eat bologna. It just was a funny-sounding word, so I used it. But honest to God, I got to pay more attention to that stuff. So, and then today is National Letter Writing Day. Does anybody write letters? I don't. Those muscles in my wrist don't even work anymore. My penmanship is terrible. I don't write anything anymore. So for me to write a letter, it would just look like chicken scratch. It would look like I'm threatening someone, or the letter itself would look like a crime scene. I don't know who writes letters. I don't do it. I love the idea of it. And I will say, if I got something in the mail, I'd be thrilled. If someone wrote me a letter, I would love it. But I know that makes me kind of hypocritical because I don't do it. But I don't know. Does anybody write letters? My dearest Beauregard. It seems like such a, like an 1800s thing. I don't know. And then another little tidbit I wanted to share with you guys. This is, I was doing the New York Times mini crossword today. I'm not smart enough to do the big one, so I just do the mini. And the clue is number one ranch dressing, or that was the answer. Ranch dressing is the number one dressing in America. You probably guessed that. It's not a huge surprise. But it took the title in 1992 from Italian. That's a pretty good run. That's a 31-year title run for ranch dressing. And it's everywhere. Some people even use it on salad. But I don't get it. My daughter was at a birthday party. This is a few years ago. She asked for salt. They had pizza. She asked for salt. And the mom of the girl whose birthday it was said, salt on pizza? No. And everybody else is dipping their pizza in ranch. It's disgusting. And I like ranch on wings, or, you know, but you got to get it on the side. Otherwise, it's just like you're eating a dairy farm, you know? So ranch is number one, whether we like it or not. I don't really have an opinion, I guess. I just found that interesting. Italian has not had the title, has not been number one since 1992. There is no Rocky of dressings. It's coming back to take the title back for the Italians. So we're stuck with ranch. I hope you like ranch. But have you gotten bad gifts? That's the question tonight. What's the worst gift you've received? I want to know. Text or call. It's the number always goes by too fast. 920-264-0606. There's a lot of bad ones. And I had this conversation recently. I'm not into presents anymore. I don't know what it is. I have my own house now. I have too much stuff. I don't want presents. I especially don't want a last minute, just get him something. It's the thought that counts. No, it's not. Don't buy me. I'd rather take a walk with you, or go to lunch, or spend time, or make a memory. I don't want more stuff. Unless it's cash. In fact, scrap the whole time thing. I'll take cash. If you want to give me cash, I'll take cash. It doesn't take up much space. But I'm serious. I don't want any more stuff. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but if you don't give gifts, you have less of a chance to get a bad one. And I know that this makes me sound like a bah humbugger, you know. Unless it's funny, if it's a funny gift, if thought was put into making a gift funny, like I always thought it'd be fun to give like friends' wives or in-laws like matching underwear just to see the faces on people when they open the gift. Oh, that's very nice of you, Pete, matching bra and underpants for my wife. Conrad, you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever done that?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely
really
have.
You bought all your friends' wives' underwear? Good for you, man. So anyway, I'll just start things off. My worst gift, my wife got this for me. It's a product called Shoe Beans. And it's supposed to take the smell away from your shoe. And nothing says red hot passionate affair like shoe beans under the tree. My kids even laughed. Mom, what are you doing? I think you know for sure the romance is gone in your relationship when one spouse gives the other one shoe beans. And that's when you know you got your work cut out. You gotta get that feeling back with smelly feet, which makes it twice as hard. That's the worst gift I've ever gotten. Not the worst gift, but that's the one that I was kind of shocked the most by. Shoe beans. It's even got a bad name. Name it something that isn't so humiliating. Like, I don't know. I mean, I just want to say now, too, I have gorgeous feet. My feet are gorgeous. So they might smell, but they look good. So share with me what your worst gift you've ever gotten was. I'd love to know. 920-264-0606. I'm going to ask all my guests tonight this same question. Matt Miller from OnMilwaukee.com. John Mino from the Mino and the Mayor Show here on WGBW, the morning show, and WISS. We'll ask, and we'll ask our surprise guests too, because I want to take a little poll just here at Civic Media. I want to know what the worst gifts are. So feel free to chime in. And you know what? A lot of people, like when I was kind of researching this online, coffee cup came up a lot. Yeah, that's not exciting, but I'll never go out and buy a coffee cup. I'll never say, oh, I got to go out and get coffee cups. Has anyone ever done that? Like, you unwrap it, and it's like, oh, yeah, okay, thanks. Thanks for thinking of me, right? And then later, you go to have coffee, and it's like, oh, sweet. I got my number one dad coffee cup. I can drink out of that. I don't mind some of these. Some of these gifts, I was looking them up, and it's like empty picture frames. I don't know how you feel about that one. It's kind of like a last-minute thing, right? Unwrap it. Here's how you get back at someone who gives you an empty picture frame. You put it up on your shelf. And you never put anything in it. So when they come over, they see the empty picture frame. Like, you don't even get it, you know? Again, a t-shirt. That's listed as a lame gift on some of these sites. I don't mind it. I don't buy t-shirts. You want to get me a t-shirt of Fonzie going, A-E-E? I'll wear it. I'll wear it to the gym. That's actually not a bad gift. Okay, so I got a lot of show coming up. I'm going to have a surprise guest in just a couple minutes. She's part of the Civic Media family. And we'll talk to her. Matt Miller is coming up soon, and John Mino later in the show. This is Pete Schwabba. The show is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba. So right after I did that little segment about bad gifts, who pops in the studio but Jim Schmidt himself with his wife and says one year he got his wife a scale and right as she was opening it, he knew it was a horrible gift. They're still married. She was with him. I mean, that's, you know, wow, that takes guts. It does. Doesn't it, Kristen? Kristen Alfheim is one of my surprise guests. She's the host of Rational Revolution. She joins me here in the studio. It's great to have you here.
It's fabulous to be here.
You just did your show before the show.
I did. It's kind of have fun. It's fun having more life around here in the evenings on Thursday.
Yeah. Get the former mayor stopping by, other host. It's great.
Oh, sure.
So tell the listeners a little bit about your show, Rational Revolution.
Sure.
Here on Civic Media.
Yeah. So Rational Revolution, we're on Thursday nights from 7-ish to 8-ish. And the whole point is to have civilized conversations.
What's that?
Well, that's why we need a revolution, yeah. Right? So the whole point is to have conversations that have a political edge to them, but we try to look at things from a left and a right and a center position so that we can kind of create a little empathy, again, have some rational conversations. I bring guests in that are on the conservative side. I'll have former Congressman Reid Riebel has been on, a Republican Councilman from DePere has been on.
Yeah.
So we try and have conversations and listen to different perspectives and then try and draw some lines that we can, again, the purple side of things. Most of us share more in common than we do different. And maybe just getting back to that civilized dialogue, that's the revolution itself.
I'll tell you what, it's interesting because I've lived in two of the biggest cities, Chicago and LA. And when you think about politics, let's say this, when you think about politics on a national level, even more than a big city, it's so divisive and it's so, this is our ideology, this is yours. And it's, you just butt heads. Since I've lived back here in Wisconsin, in Northeast Wisconsin, I see the problems are, hey, we got to keep the pool open. How do we do this?
Yep.
And people come together to do it.
Yeah.
Hey, the parks need the, you know, and everybody pitches in. It's like you don't think, well, I would do that, but I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican.
Right.
So how do you get that local feel to escalate to the national level?
Yeah. I mean, I think on a local level, people are a little bit more giving because they can see the value.
Yes.
They see the value to those that live near them or around them or themselves. Where they kind of disconnect is everything at Madison and above.
Right.
And that's really what I'm trying to help with because it does matter. It affects everything that goes on in Madison has a direct correlation to what's going on at our kitchen tables. But we tune out because, number one, it isn't as easily available. And number two, we're not sure. You know, again, if people are picking sides or we are traditionally one side or the other, then we just assume that everything that's going on is legit. Well, it's not. And everybody's mad.
Yeah.
The Republicans aren't getting anything they want. They blame, you know, Evers for vetoing it. And Democrats are mad because they can't get anything they want. So we're in this pickle of not getting anything done. And to be honest, the best leaders in Madison are leaving because the nonsense is so great. And the people that are showing up down there are just talking heads. What we need is leadership. What we need are actually rational leaders who can listen and find some compromise that moves things forward and aren't afraid to be honest about it with their people.
Do you think part of the problem, I mean, this is just my armchair quarterbacking, but it's just money. It's money in politics. I don't know how you get to publicly funded elections or if that's even necessarily the answer. I'm not a scholar on politics, but to me, if you only have your constituents to answer to and people across the aisle, and you say, we have to find something, a way to get something done here. How do you get to that point?
Oh, we could spend a very, very, very long segment on funny. It's true. Yeah. I mean, money is a big deal. I'll tell you my numbers. I mean, I ran for state senate last year, and $2.7 million was spent. $2.7 million. On a state senate race where somebody makes $58,000 a year. That's ridiculous. So that's wrong. But that means that people, again, in the way that it's set up right now, people are trying to buy legislative favors.
A lot of money at stake.
Right. So if the lines are drawn properly, there's then accountability. And accountability then leads to people having to make compromises and work together. And if we had that, if we had a civilized set of lines that actually measured and we then would be able to hold our elected officials accountable saying, hey, this is not what we want. There are a couple of issues in the state that are overwhelmingly supported, overwhelmingly. And we still can't get them passed.
Yeah.
Oh. We still can't get them passed. So, yes, there's an issue. On the other hand, I think that throwing all of the lobbyists under the bus is not the right answer either, because their job is to actually educate the legislature. The problem is the money that's in the elections.
Yeah.
That is a big deal. And, you know, I have an issue. Reed and I had a conversation 2 weeks ago, and he said that he doesn't believe in that because, you know, basically the unions became peoples and this and that. Well, then let's solve the problem.
Right.
But this ain't working.
Right.
This idea of any billionaire can throw $10 million into a race that gets them a 1.5% pay cut or 1.5% property tax or, I'm sorry, income tax decrease. Yeah. To him, that's millions of dollars a year. To the normal person on the street, they got jack out of that.
Yeah.
They got nothing. So my problem is, who is the money coming from? Who are the changes benefiting? And who has the wool pulled over their eyes when it's happening? Money getting out, and then to be honest, I think eventually we will have a third party, but you can't have a third party until you take the money out. And then you can allow people to be strongly red, strongly blue, and moderate.
Right in the middle,
and the moderate then has to make the best decision based on the situation that we're in and the topic. And I think in the long run, that's where we belong. We are a long way from there. And right now is not the time to be doing third party because the money isn't out yet. So don't go there.
Kristen Alfheim is surprise guest number one tonight. And this is an entertainment show, so I'm going to jump off politics.
That's
but that
no
was very
fine.
Eloquently stated.
Thank
but
you.
I have two questions for you. I guess we have to get to a break soon, but I know you can answer them. What are you watching on TV? What is Kristen Elfheim, host of Rational Revolution, watch?
A lot of documentaries, which I enjoy, a lot of historical type things. I just finished I just finished Suits, which was a series that was on a while back, and it was fabulous.
I've heard that. I have not seen
it. It was really, really good. I also like Billions. I've been watching Billions. I tend to pick a series that was on in the past that was highly acclaimed. You know, something's got 7, 8, 9 seasons to it, where they were 20, you know,
where
15
seasons. Where if you love it, you can just
seasons.
Keep going. Yes. Yeah, that's the way
Suits
to do it.
Suits is great. It's still as relative, as valid today as it was back then.
And I have to ask you something else. What is your favorite salad dressing?
My favorite salad dressing is actually oil and salt and pepper.
That's pretty smart.
It's really delicious because it lets you taste the salad.
It's healthy, too.
I mean, don't get me wrong. If you're going to make me a hot bacon dressing, you can slather that all over the place. I mean, give me a pint of that to go.
Kristen Elfheim is the host of Rational Revolution here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tell everybody what time your show is on and when they can catch you.
We are on at 7:06 on Thursday nights. We are live. You can also catch us on the app and anywhere you listen to your podcast. Look for the Rational Revolution. We'd love to have you.
Check it out. Thanks so much for stopping in.
You betcha. Good luck to you.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet.
So in just a few minutes, we're going to have Matt Miller joining me. We're going to talk all things show business. Matt is always fun to talk to. I've got tons of questions for Matt. And then a little later, John Mino. I had a very surprised visit from Jim Schmidt, the former mayor of Green Bay, who insulted his wife and told us about it on the air. John Mino's coming up in a few minutes, though. Matt Miller, it's Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabe. Joining me in just a moment is Matt Miller from On Milwaukee. I'm going to read a couple of texts here regarding bad Christmas gifts and what people are watching. I love that people are chiming in with that because that's a great discussion. I love talking TV just as much as I love talking sports. Chris Casper here just finished. I think he's talking about the show Schitt's Creek, S-C-H. I think there's a C in there. There should be. But he didn't put the creek part, so I assume he means the TV show, but I don't want to speak for him. He says it was awesome. Also watch Pearson, a spinoff. I'm unaware of that. And the worst gift, blue cheese or blue chew? Either way. I guess it depends who gives you the blue chew and the cheese. Here's another gift, a vacuum. Yeah, that's not good. Nothing says I love you more than a vacuum. Bad Christmas gift, Avon aftershave. And cologne. I don't know those. But yeah, aftershave and cologne, that's kind of the classic crocheted Miller beer can hat. Okay, when people text in, I'm the worst because I've got really fat thumbs. I'm not a good texter, but I don't even know what that means. Crocheted Miller beer. I'm not a beer drinker either. I like a good whiskey, but so text back because I want to know what that is. I'm not sure. And the TV show is Suits, also from Chris Casper. Oh, that's what he meant. Okay. Oh, geez. Okay. He made me swear on the air. Nice job, Chris. All right. Thanks for chiming in. If you've received a really bad Christmas gift, I want to know what it was. You can call or text. It's 920-264-0606. Also, let me know what you're watching. That's an open invitation. But right now, let's get to some serious show business business. And it is my pleasure to welcome in from onmilwaukee.com, the film critic and entertainment reporter, who I always enjoy his take on everything, Matt Miller. Matt, welcome to Nightlight.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Got the fresh show smell still.
Can you smell the show from where you are?
Yeah, I have a very perceptive nose.
Well, you sure do. I can't smell anything, so maybe that's for the best. I don't know. Well, welcome. It's great to have you here. So first and foremost, I'll just a quick take of yours, if you would, on Norman Lear's passing 2 days ago. We talked about him last night on the show, but what a legacy he left, huh?
Yeah, what an absolute giant. And a lot of people tweeted this out, but if you saw political commentary or social commentary in your comedies on TV or in your dramas, a lot of that was thanks to Norman Lear. The way he blended entertainment and these kind of the discourse going on at the time was ingenious, that, you know, invited you into these conversations in a way that you felt like informed and felt like you were hearing really interesting conversations, but while at the same time still laughing, still having a good time. And we've lost a little bit, a lot of TV and movies today, a lot of it can be a little didactic, can be a little, the message comes before any entertainment value of any kind. And man, Norman Lear, he perfected it. And you can still find great stuff like that out there. I mean, like Get Out is still kind of the piece de resistance of combining crowd-pleasing horror and laughs and thrills with a movie that can really get a message out there in a way that anyone can feel. Norman Lear, a giant. And also live your life the way Norman Lear did, that when you pass away, all people have to say is nice things. All people have to say is how wonderful of a person you were to work with, how wonderful of a person you were as a person. A real aspiration to live the way he lived.
Yeah, and you don't have to be that way. You should be, but a lot of people in that business aren't. When they achieve success, it's, hey, I got crapped on when I was on my way up. I'm going to do. But Norman Lear, honestly, I've not heard a bad thing about him. And to your point, Matt, about the comedy, I don't think a lot of people, it's hard to do, because if you're just preaching, like, and I used last night the example of Alan Alda on MASH, when he kind of took that over, got very preachy, and MASH lost its humor.
It became a drama.
And a very self-righteous drama, whereas Norman Lear kept you laughing first and made some subtle points.
Yeah, and I think we are living sometimes, I sometimes think that we are living in an era of clapter, where we are not going to comedy for laughs. We are going to comedy to hear a point that we agree with and to applaud in, like, ah, yes. Like, this is all sides of the spectrum. It's a shame on some level that, like, again, Norman Lear could have these great conversations, these serious conversations on these shows, but at the same time still keep true to the characters, keep true to being a comedy and making people still laugh while bringing these really fascinating debates to a wide, massive audience, because everything's niche now. I don't know if anything could have the impact a All in the Family had, because, you know, the culture is so segmented now, you know.
Yeah.
And in many ways, that's a good thing, because, you know, a lot more audiences and a lot more writers and directors, there's a lot more ability to get messages out there. But at the same time, it also means that it's really hard to get a message that millions of people are going to see and hear in the way that you used to 50 years ago.
Oh, for sure. So before we get to some fun talk, and what I want to know what you're watching, and I'll share what I'm watching, and listeners are welcome to chime in as well. It's kind of a two-part question. So we just finished the strikes. As someone, I'm an SAG member and an AFTRA member, but nobody, or a WGA member, but nobody around here marched. I felt very disconnected from both strikes. How long do we have to wait to see new content after something like that?
I think it's interesting, you know, like you said, strikes are over now, officially SAG ratified, the SAG actual body of SAG ratified the New Deal. But we are going to feel the impacts of the strike deep into next year.
Yeah.
We're going to feel it on TV. I mean, you're seeing the Golden Wedding happening on TV. That's happening because they don't have new scripted television.
Even though a lot of reality shows are scripted, let's be honest.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But they are still trying to fill airtime, and they're going to be filling airtime, I think, probably deep into the spring. Because a lot of these shows, they got it, and it's such a log jam right now, because every show is trying to get into these stages and trying to get their cast back together as fast as they can.
Right.
But all these people haven't been working. So, you know, they're all trying to, you know, get their jobs.
Get and back then in movies, shape.
Yeah. And then with movies next year, I mean, you know, I feel awful for movie theaters, because, you know, they just got out of the pandemic. We had Top Gun last year and Avatar, and Marvel movies were still making money. So there was this feeling of, you know, we're getting back to normal. You know, we had Barbenheimer this summer. And now next year, we're going to kind of go back to a weird year where a lot of big blockbusters haven't finished production yet and still need to finish production. And those are too big to rush out because you need to make millions upon millions of dollars with those. So right now we have a summer movie season that will start in May with no really big, obvious tentpole movie. I think there's talk of the new Planet of the Apes movie moving to that first weekend in May, but that's not a guarantee. That's not a billion-dollar movie. I like those movies. I think it'll do well enough, but that's not a movie that like everyone is like, oh, I've got to run out to the theater to see that right now. It's not an Avatar or a Spider-Man or an X-Men. So yeah, it's going to be an odd year next year. And hopefully, you know, this kind of, and by all means, the strikes were essential. They were necessary. The actors were 100% and the writers were 100% in the right to go on strike. And it sounds like they got a lot of what they needed. But yeah, the industry is going to still be recovering for several months.
Yeah. My guest is Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com. We are talking show business, TV and movies. You mentioned you kind of had maybe a sneak peek for us, Matt, into award season. Can you share what you know?
Yeah, we are getting into, you know, the critics groups are giving out their awards and kind of trying to move conversations towards maybe the less obvious Oscar bait stuff. And you've got the National Board of Review coming out. We'll have the Oscar nominations in about a month and a half, I believe, if you can believe it. We're already knocking on the door of that. I think we're going to see Barbenheimer nominated for Best Picture. You're definitely going to see Oppenheimer. I'll be interested if Barbie makes it. Everyone's very confident it's going to make it. It's well reviewed. It's the biggest movie of the year, but it is a comedy, and the Oscars notoriously have a hard time accepting loving comedy. So it's not like a Top Gun Maverick where it was like this obvious, you know, or like these kind of big spectacles that Hollywood always loves to pay homage to. I think the fact that it made so much money is going to be the reason why it gets in here. And it's a good movie. Barbie's a very good movie. It will deserve the nominations it gets, especially for production design. The production of that movie is a real treat. You're going to see Scorsese come up at the Oscars with Killers of the Flower Moon.
Did you see it?
I did. I was quite a fan of it. I think it's very good. I think everyone's tremendous in it. I would have loved to have gotten just a little bit more of Lily Gladstone, who is going to be nominated for Best Actress this year. Just because like that relationship is so overtly and clearly toxic in the movie. And she is a smart character who also knows that it is overtly toxic, literally in the case of the plot of that movie.
Yeah.
And you just want a little bit more in her head to kind of understand the rationale of sticking by this person who is overtly connected to negative things. But yeah, I think that movie's great. Scorsese is just on an incredible roll right now. I've really loved this kind of late stage career of his.
Did you like The Irishman?
I did. I think The Irishman is tremendous, and it is filled with regret and filled with humor, but also a tremendous thoughts. And I think he's a really good, and listen, they're big chews, these movies. These are not, we are clocking in on 3.5-4 hours on these movies, but in the case of Killers of the Flower Moon, in the case of The Irishman, the length is the point. The point is to feel the longevity of a life wasted in the case of The Irishman.
The
end of the movie is like, you have spent so much time with this man, and all he has at the end, all he has to claim to his name is an empty, cold, dark room and a blanket. That's all you get if you live without friends, without true friends, without any sense of morality. And then you have the Killers of the Flower Moon, which is just so, and I'm amazed it's made as much money as it has, Killers of the Flower Moon. It's made about $65, $70 million, which is not Marvel money, not, you know, breaking the bank money, but for a 3.5-hour long, grim, depressing movie about America's grievous original sins, it's incredible that people have shown up.
Yeah. That's really interesting. I love your passion, and it comes across in your work too, when you really like something. And there've been times I've disagreed with you, but I'm like, oh, he makes a great point there. That's what's so great about talking movies. It's like, okay, I didn't consider that, but yeah, that's true. I have to ask you, did you see, I think you told me you saw Silent Night.
I did.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, what you thought of that.
I was disappointed by it. And part of that isn't entirely the movie's fault. Part of it is how they sold that movie, that they sold it as John Woo's back. He's making action movies. It's going to be a goofy, crazy Christmas action movie. right. John Wick, but it's Christmas, essentially. And then you see the movie, and the movie's it's a very grim, you know, revenge flick. And bare bones, literally bare bones, because there is no dialogue in that movie.
It's a silent movie. Except for the gunfire, which is
a dialogue-free film. I don't think there's an actual spoken word in the entire movie. So all you have is this kind of bare bones revenge plot, and it's not a fun movie to watch. And some of the action is enjoyable, and it's John Woo, who is not, you know, a Marvel director who's just going to leave it to, you know, the second unit to, you know, just do coverage and stuff like that and film things in uninteresting ways. He is going to film the heck out of an action movie.
Yeah.
And he does in some cases, but there's just not much there. And again, you go in and you're like, ah, oh, John Woo's back, gonna see a guy get revenge. And then you watch it and you're just like, I am spending a long time just being unhappy watching a man being unhappy.
Yeah, I was expecting a Violent Night or something like that. I'm like, wow, they're 30 minutes in. I'm like, they haven't said anything. Hey, can you hang on, Matt? We just got to do a quick thing here. And then I want to continue this if you're game.
Absolutely. Let's do that quick thing.
Outstanding. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Schwabba. Got a couple more texts here. Chris texted in again. He likes the show Suits. And Kristen said she liked that too. Crochet beer can hat is what we were looking for earlier. Then there's a blank text. And then tremendous is a BS word. You are dancing around what you really think. I don't know who. There's no name with that. I don't know who they're referring to. But thank you for chiming in anyway. I think Matt and I both believe in what we say, though, in our defense. So, Matt, do you have a guilty pleasure show?
Oh, so
one a critic and a guy who's as knowledgeable as yourself probably shouldn't watch, but you love it.
I would probably say most of the TV I watch actually is guilty pleasure TV because I spend so much time watching movies and keeping up with the movies that are out and catching up on older stuff. And I do a ton of, when I watch TV to relax. So I watch a lot of the cooking shows. I watch the baking show. I've been great for the cooking show. I watch a lot of the silly Netflix reality shows, like the Selling Sunsets of the world.
Oh, my wife loves that show. Wow.
Yeah, it's all trash, but right now I am literally, while I'm having this conversation, I have the Bachelor in Paradise on mute.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just...
I hope he can rewind it. I'd hate to see you fall behind on that.
Yeah, you know, it's just essential, you know. It's so plot-driven.
That's a guilty pleasure. That's okay. Yeah.
Exactly. And, like, I definitely watch serious stuff, too. I definitely watch, you know, good TV as well. But, you know, sure. I really want to sit down with a good show like The Bear or something like that, or Only Murders in the Building. You know, I want to sit down and think about that. So if I'm just putting something on in the background, that's why God invented the Great British Baking Show.
There you go. I just started season 2 of The Bear, like the first season a lot. What was the other one you just mentioned?
Only Murders.
I have to tell you, huge Martin Short fan, huge Steve Martin fan. Kind of over the whole cute thing between them. They're great. They're good for America. I love them both. But, you know, this Pete can't. I'm just kind of over it. I don't know. But I've heard it's a great show.
What I don't understand is they're so good together. They're such a good tandem. Yeah, why haven't they hosted the Oscars yet?
Oh,
like they
man.
Would be. What I had heard originally was a few years back, they wanted the three of them to host the Oscars. They wanted
Selena Gomez,
and nice. Steve Martin. And I think that would be a great way. I think that would be a great trio to host the show. But yeah, I don't know why, but it fell through. Probably because hosting the Oscars is the worst job in Hollywood.
Yeah, that's a tough situation. Do you have a holiday movie you recommend regularly and one you can tell people to stay away from?
We are a Christmas Story household. I love A Christmas Story. I think it's tremendous. I'm trying to think of one that I would tell you to avoid that is, are we talking new movies in general, like out in theaters?
Any or? Christmas movie, any the Christmas. History, you got the whole thing, Christmas with the Cranks to pull from, whatever, you know,
Christmas with the Cranks. That's pretty, I will say, so it'd be easy to pick something like, a, you know, Four Christmases or a Christmases with the Cranks or like Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. or Santa with Muscles, which is a movie about Hulk Hogan. Amnesiac. And
I am renting that tonight.
It's a real movie.
Oh my gosh.
I will say, watch out for Holiday Inn. You know, I watched movie, classic movie, was watching it, was having a great time. And then in the middle of the movie, there's a blackface number. And it really.
Yes, there is.
Listen, it's a part of the air. It was the time and all of that, you know, and I'm not in the business of erasing history. There maybe should be a note at the beginning of the movie like they do with Looney Tunes cartoons. But boy, man, you watch that and you're like in a Christmas spirit and then just the air just sucked out, sucks out of the room when that happens. And you're just like, ooh, boy, And then at the end of the scene, they're all like, what a great number we all just did. And I'm just always like, au contraire.
They had no idea the blowback they would get decades later, right?
I mean, only they knew that society would improve.
Would shun.
Slight regard.
You know, it's funny you say that. I wasn't sure exactly where you were going with that at first, and it reminded me of Butch and Sundance, where all of a sudden you got this movie, and then there's a musical number, Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, and we just see Paul Newman riding a horse. It's like the only number in the whole... It's just... I love when directors make choices like that. And I want to go back to Silent Night because I forgot about this because we went to break. But John Woo, I left the theater pretty depressed. And then I thought, wow, he made a 90-minute movie with no dialogue. That takes talent. No redeeming qualities. That takes guts. But it still is not, it's not something I'd ever see again. And I didn't like the Joel Kill. Sometimes there are always ex-forces guys that do that, but it makes the action believable. This guy was like, worked for the electrical company and practiced punching a dummy and he's taking down gangbangers. You know,
that's actually what I kind of like about Silent Night. And again, I wouldn't call it a good movie. I'd have a hard time recommending it, but I would have a hard time calling it a straight up bad movie.
Yeah, same.
I like the fact that he's just a guy. So all of the action scenes in that movie, he's just getting pummeled. Like he just gets shot and kicked and, you know, stabbed. And like, he really takes a John McClane style beating in that movie.
Yeah.
And I do kind of like, cause I'm kind of tired of the subgenre of action movie now where it's like, but little did you know he was secretly special forces this entire time. Like
he's got machine guns in the trunk. Yeah.
Yeah. Like little did you know he is a one man military.
But force. I was expecting
kind of human stakes of feeling like, this character's at risk. This character can get hurt.
I like that. And I like I love the show Bosch, where he's not a steroid guy. He looks a little, you know, kind of got the childbearing hips, and you don't really expect him to be this guy who's like, but he's a tough guy. I don't mind that. And I thought Joel Kinnaman's character would use his knowledge of working in the electrical something other than just straight out fighting. I had a problem with that. But otherwise, I'm with you, though. I don't want to totally poo-poo the movie because it had some interesting elements to it for sure.
Yeah, and again, like a lot of this is on the marketing, you know, and you have a movie at Christmas, you know, you have an action movie about a guy getting revenge on Christmas, you're going to sell it as fun, and that is not the movie John Woo made. It is not a particularly fun movie.
Right.
It's a surprisingly dour action movie, and again, I respect some elements of it, but I have a really hard time. Like, it's not good, but it is not a,
it's interesting on some level. Yeah,
I've reached a point now where, like, if I can find something interesting in the movie, it is not a bad movie.
Not a total loss,
I think that's why the critic and viewer disconnect can be.
Yeah.
Is that a critic sees so many movies that at some point you're like, oh, even if this is like weird, or like, I know some people probably didn't like Priscilla, the new Sofia Coppola movie, because it's kind of a purposefully boring movie. It is a purposely drab movie about living a life in a gilded cage. And I find that interesting, and I find that an interesting take. But if you're a general audience member coming in and being like, hey, you know what movie was so much fun was Elvis last year. It was so bright and shiny.
Yeah.
Here comes a movie about Priscilla. It's going to have the music, and it's going to be about this life.
I hate to do this, Matt. I got to cut you off. You got to come back because we got a lot more to talk about. Matt Miller from On Milwaukee.
Awesome. Yeah, we're just going to have to do this again.
Thanks, Matt. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight. We'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.